Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
You know, I wonder why the Lord made me the way he did, and I'm understanding now why he did. He made me a self-entertainer, so that way if nobody laughs at me, at least I'll laugh at me. So, it's cool. You don't have to laugh at me. Just kidding. All right, no, I have the privilege of sharing this message today. The title of this message is Authorized, and I didn't even realize and think about it, but this year, Pastor got a word too, and I was just thinking about it when I was sitting in the front here. This year is a word that Pastor got for our church and for us is a year of authority, and we're gonna step into a new authority that God has for us, and I'll explain what that kind of looks like and explain how God partners with us to give us authority. And basically, when Jesus died on the cross, he came back to get back what was ours originally. We had authority in the beginning, but when we sinned, we messed up, we gave that authority, we gave the keys to the enemy. And this year, I just want to encourage you and exhort to you that this is a year of authority, and your year, you're going to walk in authority, you're going to live in authority, you're going to live free from your past, whatever you dealt with before, you're going to walk in a new authority that God has for you. And I'm going to explain that in our message today. Another title that came to mind that went with authorized was compassion into action. And if you remember here from last week, Pastor Brent spoke about compassion. Compassion Unleashed actually was the title of it. And to give you some context, it was when Jesus, he performed four miracles. One of the miracles was with this man that his daughter had passed away, and he asked Jesus, if you could come and raise her back to life. And so Jesus, he goes and does that. But on the way over there, so that's one of the miracles, as Jesus is talking about compassion and talking about love. Tell me if I need to slow down too. I'll slow down a little bit here. Sometimes I speak a little fast. But yes, on the way over there, there's a woman too that has been bleeding for several years of her life. And she reaches out and she's like, if I could just touch the fringe of his garment, I'll be healed and I'll be made whole. And she touches him, and he was like, whoa, who touched me? And in the context of it, there's a huge crowd around them. So the disciples are like, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you, Jesus. We're like, everyone's around you right now. And he's like, no, someone touched me. There's power that was released through me. And it was this woman, because she knew that if she just got in his presence and experienced him, she would experience his power. Or in other words, a deeper, besides just the power, God wanted to release love and compassion. And then we come to this two men who are blind, and they cry out to Jesus on the way, and they say, have mercy on me. And Jesus, he has that compassion. I believe Pastor Brent talked about that compassion, meaning like that gutsy feeling. And Jesus, he didn't just talk about the compassion. He just didn't feel it in his heart or in his gut, but he actually put it into action. He led it by example, and he healed those blind men. And then we come to the last one, where there's a person that's mute, a person that's demonically afflicted, and he hasn't been able to speak. And so Jesus has compassion on his life. He reveals his mercy, not just his power, because I think as our generation, it's so easy to get caught up on like, man, I just want to see the power of God. I just want to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to see God really move and do miracles. But God really wanted the people to see something more than just the power. They wanted to see his heart, which was compassion, and him putting it into action. And Pastor Brent referred to compassion, then it has to be more than just a feeling in your heart. Or like, oh man, I heard about this person. They're having a rough time. They need some things to be provided for. Oh, I feel like I should probably help them. It's got to be more than just a feeling. It's got to be something that propels us into action. And something that helps us with that, or helps me at least, is when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about Romans 2:4, and it's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It says that it's unfailing kindness, or in the Greek, unfailing kindness means mercy, his compassion, his love, that leads us to a place of repentance. And repentance can be kind of a negative connotation, like, oh, I don't want to repent, and like I'm a sinner, like I fall short of God's glory, like I don't want people to know that like I'm repenting. And it's actually not supposed to be a negative thing. It's supposed to be a good thing. It actually brings us closer to who God is. And so repentance is simply just a change in mind, heart, and direction. And so when you see God's mercy, when you see his love on display, his compassion on display, just as the people did, then it's ultimately supposed to lead us to a place of a change in mind, heart, and direction. And so Jesus led that by example, but then he authorizes now in this chapter, in chapter 10, he authorizes his disciples, he authorizes his sent ones to do the same thing that he just did. And so Jesus wanted to give the same opportunity to his disciples to share that compassion, the good news. And so if you think about it, the disciples probably were a little bit freaked out, because if you think about who the disciples are, it's kind of a weird group that he put together. And it actually refers Matthew as Matthew the tax collector. Like, that's what it refers him in the scripture. And back in their time, tax collectors weren't really liked. And so for Matthew to go and do something that's important, that's significant, and this time he's probably like, I don't know if I should be going and sharing this good news. He probably maybe had those thoughts. Or even Peter. Peter, back in the time, was a fisherman, and back in their time, they aspired to be a teacher or rabbi. And so that's what they aspired towards. But if they couldn't get that, if they weren't educated enough or didn't have the skills, the talent, the gifting to get there, then they just went back to what their family always did. And so so they probably were a little bit intimidated and uneducated with all the other religious leaders, all the other Pharisees and teachers that and scribes that knew the word, knew the law. So it's probably a little intimidating when Jesus is like, okay, I'm giving you the authority, and now I'm authorizing you, I'm giving you the power and commissioning you to go and show my love and show my compassion. And that can relate to us too. I want to share this with you. God doesn't call the qualified. I'm going to say it again. God doesn't call the qualified. You don't have to have it all together. He qualifies the called. He's not looking for someone who has it all together. He's looking for somebody who's willing and able to receive the message. And that actually ties into it a little bit too. I gave you a little nitbit before. So yes, Jesus authorized his disciples to display the compassion, but he wants us as well. Before all of time, we were all supposed to be a people set apart, a people, a royal priesthood, kings and queens, to be blessed and know the blessed one and share who he is to this world. We're ambassadors of Christ to know the mysteries and to make him known. And this is why he wants to partner with his people and authorize us, give us the authority to make us known. And it reminds me also of Isaiah, as I was studying this, Isaiah. And when he's asking Isaiah, he's like, who shall I send and who will go for us? It's going to be those that are willing and able to receive the message for us, us hearing the truth from God, and then those that receive it as well. And in the previous chapter, we talked about the harvest. It's plentiful. There's harvest in front of us. There's people that don't know Christ, but it says the laborers are few. So it's not enough that we just pray for laborers, but we have to go too. And so I believe this applies to us today, to share the compassion as Jesus did. But Jesus gives us further instruction of how we do that. Before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. So God, we just thank you, Lord, that you stepped out from your throne. You stepped out from your kingdom, from your comfort, Lord. And you came and you dwelt among us, God. You dwelt among us through Jesus. You showed your love. You showed your mercy and your compassion and your power, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would reveal that to us today. God, help us to see a new side of who you are. And God, help us to walk in the authority that you have called not only disciples, but us today, God, to represent who you are, to know the mysteries of who God is, and to reveal your love, your compassion, your power to the world that doesn't know you, Jesus. God, we love you. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, now we'll actually dive into scripture. Sorry, I was just sharing a little bit of my heart. Matthew chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 10. Okay, when you're there, say I'm there. Okay, here we go. We'll pick up. We're going to go ahead and break it up into chunks because it's quite a bit of scripture. So we're going to break it up into verses 1 through 5. Okay, so we'll pick it up in one, verse 1. Here we go. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them. Okay, here's instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles, or enter no town of the Samaritans. So the thing I want to key in on here is not necessarily the place, but the what, the people that Jesus is referring to. And the focus in this and what Jesus is referring to is this is my first point. Kids, are you guys ready? Pastor Brent challenged me to make sure I knew you guys were ready. So here we go. Are you guys ready? Here's your first point. I like challenges, by the way. God calls us to minister to those out of fellowship with him. Minister to those out of fellowship with God. In other words, God calls us to minister to those out of fellowship with him. And so at the time, Israel had many religious people, and many people actually out of relationship or true relationship or relationship, what that real relationship that God wanted, they were out of relationship with him. And so today, we actually have a lot of Christians too that claim to be a Christian and are actually out of relationship with him. They don't see it that way, but we are deceived when we look at it from our own views. And so, sorry if that's a little harsh, but that's the truth. And so Christians, we're looking for that direct relationship. And actually millennials, too. Millennials is the real generation that we're talking about, so my generation. And the way that we connect, actually, I was doing a study with Pastor Brent, sent me something. And millennials, we actually connect, prefer to connect to one-on-one connections. And so the way that we can minister to millennials is to connect them one-on-one interactions. And that's where the way that they're open to that interaction. And it was cool, too, because God gave me an opportunity to meet with one of my good friends and to minister to him. And what I mean by minister is the idea of ministry. That's where minister comes from, by the way. In case you didn't know, ministry is to serve people. And so that looks different for all of us because not all of us are the same. Some of us have different giftings. So some of us could be maybe inviting a friend or someone else that God has given you an opportunity to maybe give them hospitality, maybe to set up a time to meet with them, maybe to get a cup of coffee. Maybe it's just listening to them. Maybe it's just being tangibly present and there in that moment when they're going through a hard time. I don't know what it is necessarily, but it's to serve people, to love people, love God, love people, and to share your story, to be intentional about sharing your story in your faith. What do I mean by that? Where you were before you met Jesus, when we were all crazy and trying to get our life together. And then when Jesus met us, and now we're like, oh, now I'm good now. I'm just kidding. No, we're still trying to figure it out. So that's what I mean. And sharing that with like one to two minutes, just sharing your story and your faith. And that'll speak to them because that's what's happened to you. That's what's very real and present to you. And so that actually leads me to my next point here. Verses 11 to 16, if you want to follow along with me in there, we'll go ahead and read 11 to 16. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet. When you leave that house or town, truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. And the first thing I want to say to you is we're responsible as God's people and as God's ambassadors to minister to people that are lost out of fellowship with him. We're responsible, and God's entrusted with us. God has authorized us to share the power, share his compassion, share his love with people. We're responsible for sharing the message. That's what we're responsible for. We're not responsible for how they respond. That's between them and the Lord. So we can respect whatever the way that they receive it. That's, you just give it to the Lord after that. You're just being faithful. Leads me to my point here. Walk through the open door God gives you. Or in other words, that's my second point, kids. Walk through the open doors God gives you. And what I mean by that, or follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to the people that he leads you to. Because he's gonna lead you to people, and he's gonna give you opportunities to minister to them. And so the thing I want to key in on this verse too is worthy, because it'll apply to walking through those open doors, and it actually applies to what I just said, that you're responsible for sharing that message, but if they don't receive it, that's not your responsibility. And so, and it actually talks about that too. And worthy can be thought of the way that we perceive it is like, oh, this is someone like who I aspire to be around, or someone I want to be like, a hero, someone who's worthy and honorable and someone that you admire. But Jesus isn't talking about that at all. Worthy in this context is actually not referring even to a place that was necessarily comfortable for the disciples, but or to people who were honorable or morally upright or religious even. In this context, Jesus was referring to, this is the point here. Worthy means one who is willing and able to receive the message, to receive the truth that God's delivering either through to you or through you to someone else. And that'll continue to tie in throughout this verse, message. Worthy. Someone who is willing and able to receive the message. And so when you're walking through those doors, you're looking for somebody where if their peace is with you, then you leave your peace with them. And you're looking for those people, like I said, who's willing and able to receive their message. If they're not, then just shake that dust off and be like, okay, that's between you, Lord. Good luck. Good luck with that one, because that one's a little scary. And so our goal isn't to stir up argument. Our goal isn't to necessarily convince people that the Bible's true and that God is who he says he is. That's not your goal at all. Your goal is there to share your love, to share compassion that God shared with you. Okay? And realize that people don't all, everyone responds differently to his truth and to his love. And so we just have to respect that. Leads me to my next point too. In verse 16 to 31, this one's a bit of a longer passage, so bear with me, don't fall asleep. Just kidding. All right, here we go. Verse 16 to 31. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. You'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden, that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. Man, he started off, that was pretty harsh at first. It was like, whoa, I don't know if I'm able to do this, Jesus. I don't know if I want to get flogged or in the synagogues. And thankfully, we don't have that persecution or what the disciples went through. But in some of the Mid-Eastern countries, they actually, like some of the missionaries that we are sent over there, they do deal with that. There are some threats that, like, and even in the Islamic culture, there are threats like that. And missionaries that work among the Muslims, don't quote me on this, but it's a small portion that it is about 1 out of 50 that receive Christianity or even are open to it. So that's a really small portion. And that leads me to my next point here. Are you guys ready, kids? Okay. Stand firm in the face of opposition. What do I mean? I mean that with the truth that you're going to bring, with the truth that you first have to receive, sometimes it'll be a little bit of a stumbling stone to ourselves, but sometimes after you get through that and after you allow it to be God to be your cornerstone, when you share your truth and you share your message with people, some people aren't going to all agree with you and be all rainbows and butterflies and like, yay, I just agree with you all the time. No, but something, Pastor Brent also sent me a good quote too. I had to give him credit for it. I couldn't take credit for it. I could have, but I'll give him credit. So it's actually a good quote, and actually what our culture is up against. And our culture has actually accepted two lies. And the first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must either fear them or hate them. And the second is to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. And both of those are nonsense, and you don't have to compromise your convictions to be compassionate. And Rick Warren is the one that actually quotes that, so I'll give him the credit. No, but stand firm in the face of opposition. What I mean by that, when you bring the truth, even when the disciples brought the truth, I mean, think about it. They had all the religious leaders, all the Pharisees, all the scribes, and they didn't necessarily know the law as probably as good as well as they did. And so, and even like the way the Pharisees and all the way that they presented themselves, they were like, oh, I got it together, you know. I even follow more rules than what the law says, and so I'm super spiritual. And like it said about the master, that the servant isn't above the master. And so if Jesus suffered with the Pharisees and the scribes, how much more us? You know, we're not above him. And so we're going to go through sufferings. We're going to go through trials and testings. But Jesus suffered. So, but understand this. We will face suffering and affliction to know this. I love this other verse in, I think it's in Corinthians 1, God of all comfort. When we're going through our testings, our trials, and our suffering, everything that we're going through, God wants to reveal to you who he is. Not only to reveal to you who he is, but so you can reveal who he is to this world. And so what I mean by that, I mean that God wants, through that testing, through that suffering, he wants to show you that he's your comfort. He's your only source of comfort. There'll be nothing else that can comfort you through that time. And he's your salvation. He's the only one that can save you. But when you get through that, because you will get through, and I don't know what everyone's going through, but God knows, and he knows that when you get through that times of testing, you're going through that. You're being afflicted. You're going through that hard time of opposition because you're going to be someone else's comfort and salvation. Someone's going to need to hear you minister to them, and God's going to partner with you. God's already authorized you. God's already given you the power. He's already given you the Holy Spirit. Now he just wants you to go share your love, and he's going to use your story. Another key thing I want to focus in here on is verse 19. When they deliver you, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not, and 20, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And so when you're sharing this message, know that trust God, but use wisdom in how you share the message. You know, you don't have to shove your story down their throat. You don't have to force it. Just wait for an opportunity. So use wisdom, but rely on the Holy Spirit and trust that God's going to partner with you. He's going to give you the words to say. And so you just have to trust him in that. But understand, some will still deny that message. Some will not still respond to God's mercy, and that's okay. They have to walk that out with between them. But know this also, that God has not forgotten about you in the face of opposition, because sometimes it seems like you're going through a hard time, you're going through testing, you're like, God, where are you? Like, I feel alone in this. Like, is this how I'm supposed to feel? Like, am I doing the right thing? Did I mess up? Did you forget about me? And he hasn't, because he cares more about the sparrow too. But he values you even more than the sparrow. And the Heavenly Father, he will give constant, sovereign supervision, even to the seemingly most insignificant creature, a sparrow. So surely he will care for you and your needs and you as disciples to carry out his mission that he's placed on your heart. And even in the face of fear of death, Jesus, even he was a good example. He didn't have to be afraid, and so we don't have to be afraid of that because he already overcame death. Death lost its sting when he died on the cross. And that brings me to my next point, verse 32 to 39. Are you guys ready? Here we go. Be all in. It's a pretty simple one. Be all in. It's a simple one, but it's easier said than done. It's easy to say it and be compassionate about it and being all in, but it's a lot harder to do. What I mean by that, you can't serve two masters. You can't love the world, love all these things over here, and still love God. You can't be double-minded, because you're either going to love one and despise the other. Sorry if that's a little hard to chew. I have to chew on that one too. And my point is, the love of God and his kingdom must take precedence over any other human relationship. That was for the disciples. And so as it relates to us, maybe that's fame, maybe that's wealth, maybe that's cars, maybe that's how you dress. Maybe that is relationship. Maybe that is family. But for the disciples, it was the thing that Jesus was keen in on here was in 32 to 39. Oh, I didn't even read it. I'm sorry. Did I read it? I don't think I did. We'll read it. To help you understand, I guess. That probably makes sense. All right. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy. There's that worthy word again, of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so if we're living our best life here on earth, then it's probably a good sign to maybe reflect and be like, God, am I loving you first, or do I need to check my priorities here? And so, like I was saying, the disciples, Jesus was saying that to the context of disciples, because the things that they were valuing was that of their family, okay? And that's why Jesus said, I'm not coming to bring peace. I'm coming to bring division. Because like he was saying about worthy, he's like, worthy meaning someone who is willing and able to receive the message. And probably some of the family members weren't able to receive that message, because they're probably thinking like, well, Peter, I mean, this is the family business. This is what we've always done. So, I mean, you got to carry it on, because I don't have anyone else that's going to carry it on. You're my next in line to carry it. And so they probably didn't necessarily agree with everything that Jesus taught. Because he said, give up everything. Like if somebody came, if Jesus was using myself to talk to one of your kids and say, all right, just give up everything. Like give up school, give up all those things and come follow me, because Jesus has a plan for you. I mean, you're going to probably think like, okay, you're a little weird and you're a little strange, and I don't know if I can trust that God is speaking to you. And so that was kind of the context of what they were dealing with. And so God's not looking for them to put human relationship above his relationship with them and his kingdom coming to pass. And so how do we do that? Good question, Andy. Just kidding. How do we be all in? Well, Jesus says it. He says it right here. And whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So what do? We take up our cross. What does that mean? We deny ourselves. We deny our self-interest. We deny everything that we thought we were made to be. Like when you come into this world, you're a little bit prideful. We're like, mine, me. And God's like, no. And the reason why, he's trying to protect us. He's trying to save us from what will kill us, which is our pride. And so he says, take up your cross, deny yourself. And like I said, he's looking for someone who's worthy, not honorable, not someone who's got it together, but someone who's willing and able to receive his message. Amen? All right, brings me to our last point. Kids, you guys ready? All right, the faithful will receive the reward. How many like rewards? Anybody? I like rewards. I like to be rewarded for the good things I do. Kids, you guys like rewards for being good and have good behavior? Or, yeah? Okay, good. That's what I thought too. I figured. And so the faithful will receive the reward. Let's go to verse 40 to 42. The title of that chapter is rewards. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives him who sent me, I'm sorry, whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is righteous, a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. What do I mean by that? Well, it's not talking about sonship here. It's not talking about getting to heaven or going to hell. When you accept Christ, when you receive, it's more than just receiving the hope of heaven. It's more than just getting to heaven. It's not about sonship. It's more so what God's talking about here is he's talking about he has rewards for disciples. So he's talking about discipleship here. The ones that are going to, what he means is, I'm going to bring this back a little bit so I can see my notes. What he means here is it's more than just getting to heaven. And so what that involves is it is living a life that fulfills God's mission here on earth. And so that involves ministering to those that are out of fellowship with God. It means to follow the Holy Spirit to the people that he leads you to. Walk through those open doors that God gives you. Be faithful with that. Don't miss that opportunity. Because then you're like, man, I wish I would have went and connected with that person. And I mean, you never know the impact that you could have had on that person. You never know the impact that you could have had on that person. And so it's important that you're faithful to reach out to whoever God has for you. And not only that, but understanding that to remain faithful, because you receive the word if you don't give up, but know this, that in the process of being faithful, that you're gonna face opposition. You're going to face those that will persecute you, those that will mock you, make fun of you, because that's what Jesus experienced. So stand firm. Continue to do good. Don't give up, because you'll reap what you sowed. And so, and lastly, and be all in the process of being faithful, be all in. Serve one master. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. And after that, love his people. Be authorized. Share his compassion. Share his love with the world around us that doesn't know him. Amen? And so the reward I'm talking about here is it looks different. But to give you an example, maybe you're not the pastor sharing the message, or maybe you're not even, like maybe it's at a group, and maybe you're not the person sharing the message. But maybe it's you having a relationship with someone you know that God's put on your heart. Be like, I need to invite them. And the only way that they're going to come to church is because you're there. And something that I've learned actually through Pastor Brent is the reason why people, they don't come to church just because they want to feel something that's alive and that God's presence and God speaks to them, but they come because they're like, oh, I know that person. He actually represented God's love and made me feel appreciated and welcomed. Like, I didn't have it all together, but they still accepted me. And God's going to use you, and there will be reward for you too. Amen? So you hear me talking about all this, and maybe you're here for the first time, maybe you're here for second time, third time, whatever. But maybe you've never experienced God's mercy and God's compassion, or maybe you just need to experience it again, because that's the thing that changes us, is his mercy, his compassion, his power, his love. That's the thing that moves us to a place of change of mind, heart, and ultimately action, direction. And so maybe you need to see that, or maybe you've never experienced or seen it for yourself. And if that's you, we're going to have a couple of our leaders come up here to pray. Yeah, and the worship team can make their way up here too. We're going to have a couple leaders that would be delighted to pray with you. And if it's, whether it's you making your first time to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if that's you, that's awesome. Or even if it's just recommitting your life to Jesus, know that nothing will ever separate you from God's love. God loved you the same. Wherever you made your bed, he's always there with you. He loves you no matter what. Nothing will ever get in the way of that. And so if that's you, I want to encourage you to come up, because when you make that decision, it says that all of heaven is celebrating because of you making that choice. And not only that, because your name is being written in the book of life. Second thing, maybe you don't feel qualified to do what God's called you to do. I certainly didn't. When I first received when God told me that I was going to be a pastor, I was like, no way. I was like, you got the wrong dude. I was like, I don't think I could do that. But then he showed me that, after wrestling with a little bit, he showed me that it'll be possible with him. And God's never left you. He never forsaked you. He never turned his back on you. He will help you. And it'll be by his grace, the great work that he started in you, it'll be by his grace that he sees the work that he started in you through to completion. And so maybe you don't feel qualified. There are times where I don't feel qualified. But God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He's just looking for someone who's worthy, someone who's willing and able to receive his truth and to share that truth to those that he leads you to. So that, if that's you, I want to encourage you to come up and receive prayer for that as well. And if there's anything else that maybe God was ministering you, something else, and you felt the Spirit of God speaking to you, I don't know what it is, and I don't necessarily have to know. and you want some people to pray with you and believe that God will minister and work in your life, I want to encourage you to come up too. But as we go into a time of worship, I just want everybody to stand up to your feet and just get an atmosphere where, and just imagine, it's so easy to get caught up and think like, oh man, people are going to look at me. People are going to think I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. We all fall short, but God loves us each the same. And we all have the privilege of being able to come and run into the throne room before him. And so I just want to encourage you, if that's you, come on up. But if it isn't, I just want you just to get an attitude of just and set an atmosphere of worship and just keeping your mind fixed on him. And just imagine that that nobody's around you. This is what I tell the kids. Imagine, close your eyes, imagine that nobody's around you. It's just you and the Lord, because this is the most important time right here that changes us. I just want to encourage you, something that was on my heart. I think as a parent, you want your kids not to deal with the same things that you went through, or same things that maybe your family went through. And I just want to encourage you to know that God has the power to break off maybe all the things that your family struggled with in your life, and know that your kids don't have to walk down that same line, and it can start with you, you that received the message, and you that you can even proclaim that over your life, that your kids don't have to walk through that same thing that you walk through, that your family walked through. And so I just want to pray over you and your families too, that maybe the things that we struggled with as our families, maybe it's division, maybe it's offense, maybe it's hurt, whatever it is, God knows what it is that each of our families struggle with. Know that God has the power and authority to break those things in our life, and to see reconciliation happen, to see his love and compassion made known in our families. So I just want to pray for that. So if you're with your family, you can gather with them. But if not, agree with me in prayer. So God, we just thank you, Lord, God, that you love us, God, that you cherish and you care about families, Heavenly Father. And so, God, we just lift up each of the families that are present in this room, each of our family members that maybe not be present in this room. God, we thank you, God, that you care about each of our needs in our families, Lord, and that you care to reconcile each of our family members to you, Lord. And we don't know where they're at, but you do, God. And I thank you, God, that you know the way to reach them and to minister to them. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to send a person. You're going to authorize a person to reach out to them, whether that's us or whether that's somebody else, Lord, to reach their hearts, God, to walk through that door, to stand firm, to be all in, to share your love and compassion to them. God, I thank you, Lord, that we're not going to walk in all the things that we struggle with in our families, in our kids' lives, God. God, I just thank you, Lord, God, that we're going to walk in the blessings that you have with us, God. We're going to be reconciled with you and reconciled with another, God. I just pray that you pour out your grace, Lord, in our families, God, to live out a godly lifestyle, not perfect, but God, open, willing, and able to receive your message, Lord. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andy. Good word. And it's a big passage, so he broke it down good. He did a good job. Amen. Go this week. You know, you think about the disciples, they had kind of followed Jesus. He was doing all these great miracles. And now he says, hey, go do it. It's kind of like, does that make you nervous? It makes me a little bit nervous. I remember the first time at Bible college, I was telling Andy this, we're going to go street evangelism down in Aberdeen, South Dakota. I remember riding in the back of this van, getting down there. I was shaking the whole way. There was something about this idea, just sharing my faith openly. It just scared me like nothing else. I don't think I'd ever been that scared before. All right? And probably not my gift is just sharing with people cold turkey just about my faith. But what has become very natural to me is sharing with people through relationship, just sharing Christ with them. I build a relationship and share Christ with them. Sometimes that happens in just one conversation in an airport as we talk, and all of a sudden I share with them. Sometimes it's over several weeks or months. Relationships progress at different levels is what I'm saying. But through that, then to share your faith. That's what works for me. And maybe that works for you as well. Sharing your faith isn't a scary thing. Just allow the Holy Spirit to lead and direct you, give you the strength, give you the words. Let him go before you. Amen. Walk through those open doors. Amen. Shake hands as you leave today. And God bless you. We'll see you back next week.